The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Monday, March 21st, and we are rounding off to the 2 p.m. Eastern hour. And I want to welcome everyone who is joining us today via live or by the rebroadcast of this program. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And we welcome all of our audience. If you are new to the broadcast on whatever platform you're watching from, if you have the ability to comment in the section below, please let us know that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We would appreciate that very much. It lets us know that way that we can keep up with new faces that are coming on, and we can welcome you. And hopefully you will come back and we will get to know you, and you'll become family like many others that come on here on a weekly basis. So today, before we get started, again, I want to encourage you to download our free app. Again, it's available on Apple, it's available on Android. And again, it is absolutely free for you to download to keep up with all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as keep up with our latest podcasts that you can both watch or listen, such as this one today. So again, it is free for you. Push yes to push notifications, and you'll be notified of every headline and every new podcast that comes out and is available. So we've got an interesting lineup today. I want to show you two stories that came out. These are two stories that came out at the closing of last week that we reported on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And I believe these stories, the first story that we're going to show you is, I believe, a prelude of how we're going to see a one world religion come about. I believe, prophetically speaking, that somewhere in the future, one day, there is going to be this push. There's going to be this unification of, I believe, what I believe to be the major religions of the world, and they will unite into under one umbrella, and it will be a one world religion. Now, I base that off of Genesis chapter 11. If you go to Genesis chapter 11, there it speaks of the construction of the Tower of Babel. This was orchestrated by a man by the name of Nimrod, who was in defiance of God. This was immediately following the catastrophic flood of Noah. And the entire premise of the motivation of why he constructed this Tower of Babel was in order to defy God in his judgment. That in the event that there would come another great deluge that would cover the earth, they would be able to escape by being that high up into the heavens, that they would escape the judgment of God, the wrath of God. And B, they were going to try to defy God by constructing a tower to reach the heavens. Now, here's the part that I want to emphasize here. Don't miss this. If you go to, and I'm not going to pull this scripture up, you can go back and study this in your own time, Genesis chapter 11. If you study it out, it says that they were all in one accord, one purpose, they had one mindset, and they had all one language. So there was this unification that brought them all together under one umbrella, one motive, one purpose. And through that, we know, according to the scriptures, that God himself came down and he confounded their languages. And that's where we get Babel, Tower of Babel, or Babel. It's confusion. He brought confusion to their languages, and thus they were dispersed abroad. And this is why you have so many different regions and so many different religions and so many different languages. And this is where all this came from. I believe the original language, and you don't have to agree with this, and that's okay. We all have different opinions, but I believe that at one time, all of humanity spoke one language, one universal language, and I believe it was Hebrew. I really do. I believe it was Hebrew. That was the language it was spoken. But then again, Genesis 11 changed the whole thing. It changed everything, along with, of course, the fall of Adam. But anyway, you've heard me say this over and over again. If you want to know how this thing is going to play out when we get towards the time of the end, the coming of the Lord, the tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the false prophet, all that stuff, you have to go back and you've got to study the beginning. So in the beginning, don't miss this, in the beginning, there was this globalization, this one world, new world order, one world religion, one world currency, one world government, one world mindset. Okay. And now here we go. We fast forward. Now we're in 2022 and we can see that there is this push for once again, for this globalization. And you can call this all kinds of terms, new world order. You could call it the World Economic Forum is pushing this great reset. That's the whole motive behind this, is to create eventually down the road. We're getting away from currency as we know it, making a digital currency so we can all be on the same playing field where they digital. And I don't want to get in all in that because it's a whole other study. But the point is, there is coming, make no, and I'm going to show you in scripture, but there's coming a one world religion. I absolutely believe that. And whatever this religion is, will be the religion of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And you will be forced to comply to this religion of this Antichrist, or you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. So somehow, listen to me, I'm going to get to the headlines. I got to build all this for a foundation. Somehow we got to get to many faiths, many paths, and many ways to God. Somehow we got to get from that, which we know that's not true. So don't get your feathers ruffled. We know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father unless he come through the Son. There's no other name under heaven given unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Don't get it wrong. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you talk to the average individuals, Hollywood people, the elitists, the celebrities, and they will flat out tell you that there is all sorts of paths and different ways and different gods and et cetera and et cetera. But somehow we got to get from that to one quote unquote God, one quote unquote faith, and one quote unquote religion. And this religion will be the religion of the coming global leader that the world is ripe for, the world is anticipating, and the world is drooling at the mouth for. Just look at the stuff that's happening with Russia, with Ukraine. Listen to the verbiage. Listen to the rhetoric. We need a world leader. We need a peacekeeper. We need someone to bring global peace. The world is ripe for the Antichrist. So if the world is ripe for the Antichrist, I'm telling you, the world will be ripe for his religion. Now look at this headline. Now let's get into this. Check this out. This is an article from the Jerusalem Post. Evangelical, Muslim, and Jewish leaders. By the way, these are the three major, what they would call monotheistic religions. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And here they are committing to work together. Now, they will stress here that this is, quote, multi-faith and not interfaith. What does that mean? Let me explain, but don't get it wrong. Ready? Quote, I'm going to read this. This is from the Jerusalem Post. recognizing the great momentum created by the Global Faith Forum discussions in Dallas and Kansas City earlier this month, the Multi-Faith Neighbors Network, that's MFNN is the acronym there, held their third and final gathering in Washington, D.C. last week, which culminated in meals being packed for the needy and the local community. Quote, the forum's theme, unlikely, referring to the unexpected alliance between three major world faiths, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish, is based on the premise that transformation begins with international relationships and developing deep bonds of mutual trust and respect with leaders of other faiths. Representative leaders from the evangelical, Muslim, and Jewish faiths affirmed their commitment to addressing polarization and polarization within their own communities. They also resolved to collectively break down barriers of fear between different faiths and further cultivate multi-faith relationships to build bridges. Listen to this verbiage. Of understanding and collaboration, building bridges, collaboration, joining together, coming together, and while maintaining their respective and distinct theologies and identities. And I will say this for now, quote, two things you need to know about the program this evening, said Pastor Bob Roberts, co-founder of MFNN and co-host of the gathering at the First Baptist Church in Glenarden, I believe that's how it is. Quote, first, this is what he said, this is multi-faith and not interfaith. And he goes on, as evangelicals, we are committed to what we believe without compromise. Well, good for him. And I'm not accusing him of touting a false religion. Don't miss what I'm saying. What I'm saying is these are stepping stones. This the horse has got to get out of the gate, guys. We got to get moving towards the direction to bring about the fulfillment of prophecy. Let me read on. Let me read this again. As evangelicals, we are committed to what we believe without compromise, as are our, the same goes for our fellow Muslim and Jewish leaders to the distinctives and identities of their respective religions. Quote, secondly, we are relational. Quote, for years, people have argued in interfaith dialogue about who is right, but that is not our concern. But rather how we get along. Let me read that again. Our concern is not who is right, but how do we get along? Imam Muhammad Magid, executive imam of Al Duls Area Muslim Society, ADAMS, center in Sterling, Virginia, and co-host of the event said the following, quote, we believe it is vital to continue this important dialogue in communities worldwide. Let me say that again. Vital to continue this important dialogue. What important dialogue? Pulling faiths together in communities worldwide. Now, again, stop. People will come on and say, well, I don't see anything wrong with this, Brother Ricky. This is great news. We can all just get along and we could be a great, happy family and we could sing Kumbaya and we are the world and there's no violence and it's all peaceful and it's great news. Again, guys, this is exactly what do you think the Antichrist and the false prophet's going to do? They're going to create a global, worldwide religion, one faith. And I'm going to show you in just a second, you're either with them or you're against them. It may start out right now as a dialogue, a healthy, friendly dialogue. But what I'm saying to you is eventually down the road, listen, just like the virus, and the jab, I don't believe it is the mark of the beast, but I do believe it is conditioning. It is conditioning for a system down the road that will require individuals to get something in or on their hand or their forehead that they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. Y'all see what I'm saying here? It's all about conditioning and preparing a generation to accept what is coming prophetically. Now, let me read on what he said. Let me read what this Muslim imam says. He says, these conversations are critical in building bridges. Here it is. That will stop hate, make peace, and facilitate lasting relationships. Again, what do you think the Antichrist is going to do? In the first 42 months or the first part of the tribulation, he will come in a diplomacy of peace. Daniel, the book of Daniel says that. He will make peace with Israel and the Arab nations. He will be the peacekeeper. He will build bridges. He will stop hate. He will stop violence. He will stop wars. He will put an end to famine, put an end to pestilence, put an end to all these things. And he'll be hailed as a hero. The Bible says the whole world will wonder after the beast. Quote, we are not compromising our faith, but rather trying to work towards the, quote, common good. We care about each other and collaborate with one another. Well, that may be great for these, but not everybody has this same thought process. Because listen, can I say this? There is a radical element of evangelism or evangelicals rather. Radical element. And though that element is the one that got all wrapped up in the QAnon mess. Then there's the radical element of Judaism. There's a radical element of that. Those are the guys that will, you go to Israel and they'll flat out stone you in certain parts of Jerusalem, in certain parts of Israel, if you do the wrong things or say the wrong things. Then there's a radical element of Islam. Hello? And we've seen that played out. So every major religion has a radical element to it. And the problem is the media will focus on that versus, you know, for example, listen, not all Christians are putting Donald Trump on the throne as another, as God or above God. Not all Christians are blowing up abortion clinics or gunning down people as a lot of the mainstream media tries to make it out to be. And not all Muslims are radical. I'm being truthful here. Y'all get what I'm saying here. But what I'm trying to say is when we get into the tribulation, we see a whole different side to this thing. Quote, when we gather together like this, it gives me hope that there's a lot more we can do together than what we can do alone. Quote, it was God's will that we will, if it's God's will, I'm sorry, let me back up again. It was God's will, correction, that we look differently and have different colors. This validates the concept of human diversity. Our goal is to work with religious leaders to transform their congregations. Did you hear that? Our goal is to work with religious leaders and transform their congregations.
I heard someone the other day say, well, you know, the Muslims love the prophet Jesus like we do. Friends, that's so wrong. Now, I don't want you to think that Jack and I and people who are talking that we cannot have Chrislam, that we don't love the Muslims. We do. We love Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. We love them all. But it doesn't mean that we all agree about Jesus. They do not have the same Jesus in their mind that we have as Christians. Now, there are three Jesus that are being taught about today. Taught. The first one, Jesus of the Bible. The second one, the prophet Jesus of Islam. And the third one, the New Age Jesus. And I'm going to go ask Jack if he'll explain these three one at a time with me. First of all, the Jesus of the Bible, our Jesus, the Christian Jesus.
The beginning of the 20th century, groups got together from all Christian denominations saying, if we can agree on these five fundamentals of the faith, we'll become one. That was a proper thing to do because it was Christianity putting aside some of its differences. And they called it fundamentalist movement. Today, that's become a dirty word because of Islamic fundamentalism, and they've changed that to terrorism now. Thank God. But fundamentalism said, here are the 5 points. If you believe that, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Number one, the deity of Christ, that Christ was God from all eternity, for he was from old, from everlasting. Micah 5, verse 2. And he's God, yes. Matthew 1:23, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Romans 9, verse 5, Christ came who is over all God, blessed forever. 1 John 5:20, we have believed in Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Secondly, they said, you must believe in that virgin birth of Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 already quoted. Thirdly, said, you must believe in the sacrificial atonement of Christ and that Christ is the only way of salvation. I already said what Jesus said. Listen to what the other authors led by the Holy Spirit said. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the good news of Christ. It is the way of salvation. Galatians 3:26, you're all the children of God. Wonderful. No. Add the rest of the verse. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:20, he made peace through the blood of his cross. Oh, we could go on and on. Under Christ who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Where is that again? Revelation 1:5. And oh, I love this. The rapture takes place, Revelation 4:1, and they're singing in Revelation 5:9 and 10. And they say, thou art worthy, Christ, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation, and we will reign with you on the earth. All right? You cannot believe there are other ways because there are 400 verses that say Jesus is the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's only one name under heaven given whereby you must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And the fourth thing they had to believe in after he died on the cross was the resurrection. Oh, that's not important, really. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the fifth thing is the return of Christ. And he's not coming back, as you're going to hear in a moment, as the prophet Jesus, who puts to death all Jews and Christians who won't become Muslims. God forgive him for teaching it. But Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But let me get into the prophet Jesus now, Rick Sella.
All right.
And I'm thankful for this. The Quran Dilemma. This was just sent to me by a number of Muslims who found Jesus as a personal savior, and they're respectful, but they tell the truth as they translate the surahs of the Quran. And I have read the Quran through twice, and now I've read this, and I know what I'm talking about right now, and I can back every word. Listen to me. I just heard a newscaster locally say, what's wrong with you Christians? They love Jesus like we do. He's their prophet. And I have many Christians saying the same thing. Well, we both love Jesus because, after all, he's a prophet. A lady told me that the other day. Wait a minute. They love him because he's going to carry out what they teach about their Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, which I just explained to you. Their Jesus comes back and says, I am now a Muslim. I've been converted while I was gone. And I want you to know that I'm not God. I'm not a deity. I did not die on a cross. I rigged it all. Someone was hanging there in my place. And I even stood below the cross and washed him. And he said, now that I have become a Muslim, I have been sent by Allah to become his evangelist. And the first thing I'm going to do is what Muhammad did, as he smashed the crosses wherever he found them. And I'm going to smash all the crosses I can, because I did not die on that cross. What blasphemy. And he said, furthermore, and you're going to hear Sheikh Kabbani, the leader of America's Islam, saying this in this program soon. When I return, I will be the chief lieutenant for Mahdi Ahmadinejad's Messiah from Iran. And when I return with him, it will be my job to be the executioner of every Jew and Christian who will not become a Muslim. Now, here is that book again. Thank you. These men said, we'll back you up and help you in everything you can. Can you really prove that's in the Quran? Yes. First of all, the Sunnahs and the Hadiths of Muhammad back this. But let's get into the Quran. Now remember, a surah is a chapter in the Quran. Everything I just said can be backed with Surah chapter 4, verses 157 and 158. Chapter 4, verses 172 and 73. Surah chapter 5, verses 72 and 73. Surah chapter 9, verse 30. And then Surah chapter 119, verses 33 and 88. It's there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not manufacturing it. I'm not twisting it. I'm reporting it as it is. And I'll tell you, what a blasphemous thing to say about Jesus. And you Christians getting together in these churches under these circumstances where your Christ is being desecrated. God forgive you.
You know, Jack, I think all of our eyes have been opened. Mine certainly have, as I've been listening to Jack quote from their own writings, what they believe about Jesus. Now, their prophet Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, is he? Because they don't believe that he was the Son of God, nor did he die on the cross, nor did he rise again, like we believe as Christians, nor is he coming again for the same purpose that we believe he's coming again. We believe he's coming again because he said, if I go away, I will come again. But they believe it's for a different purpose. Now, just at the beginning of the program, Jack read something by Sheikh Kabbani. Would you mind rereading that, Jack, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get every word of this. I'm not proud to read this kind of stuff, but Sheikh Kabbani is the founder and chairman of the American Supreme Council of Islam. He's one of the masters, one of the chief men. Now, here is what he has to say. Believe him. We see that the Mahdi, that's their Messiah, that Ahmadinejad is pushing, will lead a world revolution that will institute a new world order based on the religion of Islam. The Mahdi will offer the religion of Islam to the Jews and Christians. If they accept it, they will be spared. Otherwise, they will be killed. But more, and Prophet Jesus will be the executioner under Mahdi, our Messiah.
Now, I'm going to go to the Bible. I want to show you scripture. This is Revelation 13, 11 through 18. For those listening by Spotify, listening by podcast, we're in Revelation 13, 11, 18. I'm going to read this and we're going to break this down. I'm going to pull out some stuff and I'm going to show you this. John the Revelator wrote this in probably approximately somewhere between 90 and 95 AD. The Bible says that he saw another beast, meaning, again, the reason why he said another beast is because the first beast rose up out of the sea, and that is the Antichrist. The second beast here in Revelation 13, 11 is the other beast that comes up out of the earth, or in other words, he rises up out of the people. This this individual is described to have two horns. And it's right here in verse 11, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Now, this second beast here is described as a lamb with two horns. This is the only place in the entire Bible where the word lamb here described, used as a description here of this individual, does not refer to Jesus Christ. When you read scriptures like the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, is referring to Jesus, Yeshua, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. But here it is not. This is a different Greek word and is not Yeshua. It is not Jesus. It is describing an individual that does not refer to Christ, but appears to be a false Christ, a false Messiah, if you would, or a false religious leader. And horns in the Bible represent authority. It is the assumption of most scholars that the two horns here represent authority, would be spiritual or religious authority. It is vastly agreed upon by many Bible scholars and theologians that whoever this false prophet is, he will eventually merge two major religions together. Now, I will say this. When you research this, it's interesting. If you go to the Middle East, the two most prominent religions of the Middle East is Islam and Roman Catholicism. So could it be possible that this false prophet will have the capability, the charisma, the ability, the deceptive power to merge Roman Catholicism with Islam? Now, in order for him to do that, in the branch of Roman Catholicism, you would have to get the priest, the pope, or whoever, the cardinals, all them individuals, you would have to get them to agree on something that Islam would agree on. Now, let's go to the other side. In Islam, it is absolutely known and taught in both the Hadith, which is the oral traditions of Islam and Muhammad, and in the writings of the Quran, that it is widely known and accepted and taught in mosque, in both in the Middle East and in America, that God has no son. This is something they do not compromise on. They believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He is not the Messiah. That he was just a mere prophet. And they don't believe that he is the only begotten Son of God. Okay? Now, so whatever, if it listen, and again, this is an hypothesis, guys. I said this over and over again. Nobody can, if people get on the Facebook comments and say, no, brother, it's going to be these two religions and that's final. Well, listen, we see through a glass darkly. We see in part and we know in part. This is some of these things are left to be hypothetical or an hypothesis. And that's what I'm giving you today. If it is Roman Catholicism and Islam, that means there's going to be some major compromises on the side of Roman Catholicism. And hello, there most definitely is already happening right now in that faith. And I don't have time to develop that, but I could preach. I could have pulled up notes and articles and research, and I could show you some stuff that's come out of the current Pope's mouth that would shock you when it deals to be with even traditional doctrines of the Catholic faith. When in regards to what the Bible calls abomination, or the shedding of innocent blood, or even in their views of Jesus and sin. So again, that's the point I'm trying to make here, guys, is in according to Revelation 13. Now watch this. Let me pull this back up. Let me go back to the scriptures, Revelation 13. Let's go back to this. The false prophet will merge two major religions together under one umbrella, and this will be the one global religion. But look at this. He will have the characteristics of Jesus. This is where your lying signs and wonders come from. He will talk like Yeshua. He will have attributes of Yeshua, but look at this. But he will speak like a dragon. What does the Bible say, guys? Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Let me say that again. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So this man's mouth and what comes out of his mouth is going to give him away that he is not the real Jesus. Remember, Paul said there would come a time when another Jesus would come. And there would be another Jesus, there'd be another doctrine, and another spirit. And that's why you have to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God so that you are not deceived. But look at this. It says this false prophet will exercise all the authority of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, in his presence. So he's going to work together with the Antichrist, and he will cause the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. There's where the religion comes in, worshiping the beast, worshiping his religion, worshiping his faith, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. I'm talking about, we have never seen in our lifetime this kind of deception. We've seen apparitions, we've seen false signs, but I mean, this is a whole other level. Verse 13, or 14 rather, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. People, listen to me, people follow signs. People chase signs. Christians, evangelicals, charismatics, they follow signs. The problem is the Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. But we get to Revelation 13 and it says the earth will wander and they will fall head over heels for this guy because of the signs that he's performing. Let me go on. Look at this. He will tell those who dwell on the earth to make an image. We've talked about this in multiple podcasts and others. There's coming a image of the beast that will be created by the people of the earth for worship. And it will be led by the false prophet and dedicated to the Antichrist. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to kill. Notice it says worship, worship, and worship. Satan has wanted worship from the beginning of time. He was booted out of heaven, but God is going to give him a space to be worshiped. He's going to get what he always wanted, and that is to be worshiped as a quote-unquote God, little g. And we're going to get to that in just a second when I get to the second part of this. And then, of course, I'm not going to read all this, but you go to verse 16, 17, 18, 19, or I'm sorry, 16, 17, 18, Revelation 13. And then he talks about this mark of the beast, this system of the beast that will also be put together by the false prophet who issues this. And again, it will be in conjunction with the Antichrist and his religion. Don't make no buts about it. This will be absolutely in conjunction with the religion of the Antichrist, because he will know those who reject the mark of the beast, he will know that they are not serving the same God as the Antichrist. And you go to the book of Daniel, and it tells you that whoever this Antichrist is, he will serve a God that was not served by the early fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all them. They did not worship the God of this Antichrist that is coming. Wow. So having said that, let me move on to the next. Let me read on to another story that came out. This one is absolutely prophetic as well. This is also the Jerusalem Post. Israeli NGO. And that is this is a company. Listen, the Israeli NGO mints silver coin, listen to this, to fund third temple for the nations. Let me read that again. Israeli NGO has just minted a silver coin in the efforts to fund a third temple for the nations.
Retaking this ground was important for a number of reasons. For one, it's where King Solomon built the first Jewish temple. After the Babylonians destroyed it, Zerubbabel laid the foundation stone for a second temple that was later expanded by King Herod. It fell at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD. When Commander Gore declared that the Temple Mount was back in Jewish hands, it rekindled hope for a long-awaited third temple.
The Six-Day War was a miracle of biblical proportions, and was a cataclysmic opening of a new era for Israel and for the whole world.
Rabbi Chaim Richman of the Temple Institute is dedicated to rebuilding the Jewish temple. He sees the time since the Six-Day War as a prophetic shift.
It would be hard, I think, not to see what's happened in the past 50 years as a tremendous jumpstart, a tremendous fast forward. It's more than prophetic. It's like a kiss from heaven, you know? It's like a divine kiss. It's an intimate brush with the reality of God's compassion and love, and he keeps his promises.
The Institute shares a key connection to the battle for Jerusalem. Its founder, Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, served with the 55th Paratrooper Brigade that captured the Temple Mount. After the victory, a Jordanian guide gave them a remarkable tour.
His job was to carry the company machine gun. There's a very beautiful photograph of that. He actually, the first night of the liberation of Jerusalem, he was given the task of guarding over the spot of the Dome of the Rock, which of course we believe is the Holy of Holies. The story, though, that he told us is that the soldiers were on the Temple Mount, and it was just like the first hour or so. And they were approached by a Jordanian fellow in Western dress who explained that he was the official tour guide for the Jordanian parliament, and he offered to take the soldiers and show them the sights on the Temple Mount. And he takes the soldiers, you know, the rabbi there, and he says, well, this is exactly where the sanctuary stood. This is where the altar stood. And then this is where the menorah stood. It tells him all these things about the history of the Holy Temple. Finally, the rabbi asked him, why are you telling us all this? And he said, well, we have a tradition from our fathers, they from their fathers, that one day the Jews would wage a war and conquer this mountain and rebuild the Holy Temple. And I assume that you're starting tomorrow. And I want this to be my part in helping you.
What was their reaction to that story?
Well, gosh, I guess they were pretty surprised. But the bottom line is, in hindsight, it doesn't look like we were ready.
50 years later, that's changed, with the Temple Institute preparing blueprints and gathering official temple elements, such as the priestly garments. Richman is also dispelling myths about the temple on today's digital loudspeaker, YouTube.
Let's start at the beginning. What was the Holy Temple really all about?
All of this means talk of rebuilding the temple is no longer considered a fringe idea.
Today, there is a lobby in the Knesset of how many members of Knesset that are constantly speaking about Jewish rights to pray on the Temple Mount. There are members of Knesset that actually talk about the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. Do you understand that 20 years ago, these people wouldn't have been given a moment on primetime television in Israel to say these things? They would have been laughed out.
So a few years ago, this was considered fringe?
Zealots, lunatics, peculiar. Today it's mainstream.
One of those members is Yehuda Glick.
10 years ago, there was not a single member of Knesset who ascended Temple Mount. Today, we have 20 of the Knesset members who are interested in ascending Temple Mount, praying on the Temple Mount, and are part in the battle for the redemption of the Temple Mount and for bringing the Temple Mount back into the center of the next step in the redemption process.
Richmond sees the temple through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote 3,000 years ago that God's house would be a house of prayer for all nations.
It means basically that there's a God in the world and that the best is yet to come, and that we are so connected to Him and to each other and to that purpose and to all humanity. And it's just a wonderful privilege to be here with you today, to be looking out over Jerusalem and to realize that we're living in probably the most important time in history. If you believe in the God of Israel and you see His hand on His people and you understand the tremendous changes that have gone on over the years, you see that the one who brought us this far isn't finished and will keep His promises.
Wow. Now, here's the problem. And we're going to debunk this today. I spent time with this last night and this morning, and I'm absolutely going to destroy the ridiculous theories that are centered around this, because you got people even here on Facebook Live that they'll get on these forums and they'll get on the comment section and they'll say there's not going to be a third temple built in Jerusalem, and because we are the temple, and it's that's one, and the other one is this temple is going to be built in heaven, it's not going to be on earth. So let's talk about that right now. So let me pull up the scripture. We're going to absolutely debunk this, and I'm going to prove to you today that there is coming a physical temple in Jerusalem, and it's Revelation 11 tells you this. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to give you about 6 points to prove to you today that this is absolutely a physical temple that's going to be constructed in the end times. Ready? Revelation 11, 1 through 3. Again, this is John the Revelator seeing this. Quote, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, quote, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there." So you have a temple, you have an altar, and you have people worshiping there. "But leave out the court." That's the outer court. There's the outer court, inner, the inner holy of holies. "Leave out the court, which is the outside of the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they," the Gentiles, "will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. By the way, I'm going to get ahead of myself. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 100,260 days, clothed in sackcloth and sackcloth." Now, you guys that are watching, listening today, if you have a Bible and you want to open a Revelation 11, 1 through 3, that's the passage I just read to you. Now, I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to say this slowly if you want to take notes, I'm going to prove to you today, unequivocally, that this is an actual physical brick and mortar temple. Number one, this temple is not referring to our physical bodies as many try to say it is. Here's their argument. There's not going to be a temple built in the future because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Friend, that is two different temples. Look up the Greek words, one. Number two, Jesus had this same argument. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24, he pointed at the temple before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the Romans. He said, do you see all these beautiful stones and everything that's laid out here? He said, not one stone shall not be laid upon another or not be toppled down until all things be fulfilled. And he was talking about the destruction of the brick and mortar temple in Jerusalem, by the way, that was fulfilled in 70 AD, just as he prophesied to the disciples as a sign of the coming of the Lord. Number two, he told them in another occasion, he said, destroy this temple and God will raise it up in 3 days. And the Pharisees that were there, the religious leaders of his day, laughed at him and scorned at him and said, it took us years and years and years to construct this temple, and this joker is going to rebuild it in 3 days. What they didn't understand, that Jesus did understand and he knew well, was he was not speaking of a brick and mortar temple then. He was speaking of this temple, his flesh and blood temple. And that gets me to 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to pull this scripture up because this is one of the arguments that you always get. Well, brother, there's not going to be a third temple built because your bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Is this saying, so is this not validating this? Absolutely not. Listen, we try to put God in a box, in an ark of the covenant, and we try to confine God in a box, and that didn't work out. God broke out of the box. So God no longer exists in a box that we try to contain him in with made by men, but now he dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, can I just, listen, can I take my teaching hat off for a second and just preach to you for a moment? This is why, listen, when we go into a church on a Wednesday night, or we go to church on a Sunday morning, or whenever you gather in your church or in your home or in your small group, and you come, we make the ridiculous assertions all the time that if we can pray hard enough, and we can intercede hard enough, and we can fast hard enough, and if we can enter into worship deep enough, then we will rend the heavens and God will come down. Guys, that sounds real good, and there's songs been made about it, and there's been some good preaching about that. But the problem with that is it's theologically not correct. The correct interpretation would say this, that when we enter, if you are born again, you are saved and you are regenerated, then the Holy Spirit of God is now living in on the inside of you. So when I go to a gathering with other believers, I'm not looking for him to rend the heavens and come down to me. Listen, he's already living on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm telling you, friends, that when we gathered, if two or more gathered in his name and he says, I'm there in the midst, it's because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. So quit looking for him to come down and come on. We are not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. Come on, I've preached it like this before. Take the lid off the ark. Come on, he ain't in the ark of the covenant anymore. You are the temple. The Spirit of God is in you. You take the lid off. You listen, let God out. You let him out through your praise. You let him out through your worship. You let the Lord, you let the Holy Spirit have his way through your obedience, lifting up your hands and surrender and letting him have his way in the body and in the church and in your gathering together. Listen, I know Jesus Christ is currently seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm not telling you that, listen, Jesus literally is on the inside of you. I'm telling you, he lives on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm telling you. So there is a temple of our bodies that the Holy Spirit dwells in, but there is coming a literal temple, a brick and mortar temple that will be constructed during the tribulation in Jerusalem, Revelation 11. Now, let me go on to my next point. This was not fulfilled in 70 AD because the temple that's mentioned in Revelation 11, first of all, when John wrote that, was in 90 to 95 AD. This temple was not the one that existed in John's time. Because, listen, that temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So you've got a 20 to 25 year gap. So it's impossible for the temple that John was describing to be the same temple that the Romans destroyed 20 or 25 years prior to that, because it didn't exist. It was destroyed. Okay. So that destroys the whole preterist theory. Here's another one. There's no way possible that the temple mentioned in Revelation 11 can be a heavenly temple, as some speculate, because John said in his writings that this future temple that would be constructed would be trampled on by Gentiles for 42 months. And my friend, that's not going to happen ever in heaven. So this is not a heavenly temple, as some speculate, but is an earthly temple. Here's another point. If you read on Revelation 11 and read on down, and you'll discover that God is releasing judgments upon the earth. Again, which totally destroys the theory that this is happening in heaven. All right, let me go on to another point. John also sees in his writings that he describes in Revelation, he tells you that there's coming an abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate, which will be when the false prophet and the Antichrist erect the image of the beast and they place it on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. And the remnant of the discerning Jews will see this and they will flee when they see this. And again, fulfilling the scriptures of this. And in fact, I got that. Let me pull this up here. I will show you this. It's this event right here that I just told you is described in Daniel chapter 11 and Daniel chapter 12, Daniel 11, 31, or 31, yes, and Daniel 12, 11, and also in the New Testament, Matthew 24, 15. Let's read that right now. Daniel 11, 31. And forces shall be mustered by him, talking about the Antichrist, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and places there the abomination of desolation. By the way, the Jewish Sanhedrin, they're still performing sacrifices in preparation for the third temple. Daniel 12, 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifices is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's Daniel 11, 31, Daniel 12, 11. Then you go to Matthew 24 and Jesus describes, he reiterates exactly what Daniel foretold would come in the future. He says, quote, Daniel, this is Matthew 24, 15. Therefore, when you see this, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Where is that, guys? In heaven? No, because there would not be an abomination of desolation in heaven. God would never permit it. He would never allow it. And most people would not see it that he was writing to. He says, there will be a generation that will see this abomination of desolation, and it will be standing in the holy place. Listen, and he, in parentheses in my Bible, it says, whoever reads, let him understand. Listen, whoever reads, those who have understanding of the scriptures, when they see this image of the beast erected in the holy place of the temple, they are going to know this is what was foretold by Daniel the prophet in his writings. And they're not going to be sticking around worshiping this stupid image that the false prophet and the Antichrist has put together. They're going to be getting their stuff and they're heading out of town, Jack, and they're hitting the road. we ain't going to have no part of it. They're going to be the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's when everybody else is bowing down and worshiping the image that Nebuchadnezzar erected. They're going to say, look, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. You can behead us. You can do whatever you want to do, but we ain't going to worship that thing because we know that thing is unholy. It's profane. And Daniel called it an abomination. But I have a feeling there's going to be some deceived believers. They're going to worship that thing. Because they're going to be worshiping the Antichrist too. They're going to be making the Antichrist out to be a hero. They're going to be in line with all those other people out there that are going to be calling the Antichrist a hero, a peacekeeper. And you're going to have some progressive Christians. They're going to be on the same side of them, and they're going to be on board with them. And they're going to say, I'm tired of all these apocalyptic, radical, fundamentalist, right-wing Christians saying that this guy, whoever this world leader is the Antichrist, and he's evil when he's brought peace. He's brought peace to the Middle East. He's brought peace to Israel. He's stopped famines. He's stopped wars. He's stopped food shortages. He's given us cheaper gas. Hello. He's making our groceries cheaper. He's doing all these great things. And you've got these right-wing, apocalyptic, fundamentalist Christians who are labeling him as a bad guy and the devil because they have no discernment. Let me move on. The Antichrist and the future. Did you know this? The Antichrist in the future, his future headquarters will be set up in Jerusalem. And guess where it's going to be, guys? In this third temple that will be built. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Ricky. Well, let me just show it to you. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And the Apostle Paul gives you a beautiful portrait of this. Ready? This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition. Look at this. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He wants worship. He wants to be called God. He wanted to be like God. You can read that in Ezekiel. You can read that in Isaiah. That's why he was booted from heaven. Now look at this. So that he sits as God in where? Come on, talk to me, somebody. He sits as God in the temple of God. Now, where is that? In heaven? No, that joker done got kicked out of heaven. You think God's going to say, well, you know, I know you made a mistake, and I've got your throne up here right beside me. And so here, come on up here, and you can sit back here. In fact, let me just get out of my throne. You can sit where I sit. No, this is not in heaven. And if the temple of God is your physical body, what is Satan going to come and sit on you? Come on, man. Again, line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Proper interpretation of scripture. He's going to go in Jerusalem. He's going to go into this temple that will be constructed in the future. And he's going to set himself as God there to be worshiped and called God, showing himself. Notice it didn't say he's going to show everybody else. He's going to show the world. He's going to show himself that he's God. He's going to convince himself that he is Elohim and that he is God. And he's going to demand worship. He's going to tell this false prophet, hey, get those people out there to make an image and an icon to me. I want to see myself in this image so that when they bow down and they worship that image, they're worshiping me. They're talking about me. They're talking about how good I am and what I've done. And I brought peace and I brought diplomacy and I have solved the world's problems. And he's going to do it in Jerusalem and in this temple that will be constructed. So guys, again, I'm trying to tell you, and I'm telling you, I see it all the time. People will try to rebuke me and they'll call me a false prophet. and they'll call me a day. I mean, you got guys making entire 30, 45 minute videos because I'm so dangerous and I'm deceiving the body of Christ. And they're out here telling you that there's not coming a temple and that we are the temple and all this other stuff. And by the way, those two witnesses are not multiple nations. They're not two nations. They're two individuals. I did a whole podcast on that, an hour teaching on that. Go find it on our archives, on podcasts, on our podcast channel, our app, our YouTube channel, whatever, it's out there. These are two individuals. Zechariah talked about them. John describes them. They will be able to prophesy. They'll be able to cast fire down from heaven. They'll be able to shut up the heavens. And they will be slain and killed in the streets of Jerusalem. And they will lay there for 3.5 days and people will rejoice. Guys, it can't be two entire nations. One guy's got a whole YouTube. He's real popular and he's got great videos. I've shared some of his videos. I'm not bashing him, but he's a brother in Christ. But I just strongly disagree with that interpretation. It's not two entire nations can't lay in the streets of Jerusalem, guys. The Antichrist ain't gonna be able to slay two entire nations laying there. It's two physical men. And it's probably gonna be Enoch and Elijah. Some people say Moses and Elijah, and I don't want to get into all that. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Two headlines this week's come out. One is the emphasis on a unified religion, putting our differences aside and uniting and coming together. Friends, again, this I have no doubts this, you're going to see more and more and more of this as we get closer to the emergence of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and their global religion. Number two, there's coming a third temple that will be constructed, Revelation 11. I've just pointed that out. And you're going to see more and more headlines and stories that are going to be they're going to emphasize this, and they're going to stress the importance, especially in Israel, the Sanhedrin, the Temple Institute, the rabbis. And by the way, one of their major prominent rabbis has just passed away in Israel. This guy was a huge, big deal for them. So again, there's these, and here's another, I want to leave you on this note. There is a messianic expectation, a Messiah expectation in Israel right now. We talked about that on other programs, and I 100% believe that their Messiah, and again, you got to remember, guys, the majority of Jews in Israel are not messianic Jews. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when a quote-unquote Messiah appears, if this Messiah comes and he's able to do what others have not been able to do and bring Israel into peace with the Arab nations, my friends, whether he be Jew, whether he be Muslim, whatever, they will hail this man to an esteem of what we read about in Daniel 9 and Daniel 11. Because whoever this Antichrist is that comes, he will be embraced by the world and Israel to sign this 7-year peace treaty and this covenant with Israel and the surrounding nations. And the Bible says when that thing is signed, I'm telling you, you want to talk about the prophetic clock going into overdrive? That is something that will absolutely send it overdrive. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you've not yet subscribed to our main website, guys, you can get our app, but you can also subscribe to our daily digest. It's free. It's also free. And it's one digest that comes to your inbox every single day. You can go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, get that digest. Again, don't forget to download our free app. It is absolutely free. It's available on Apple and Android. You can get it to your hands so you can be notified of everything that we're doing. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to support our ministry. If you are blessed by this ministry, it's encouragement, it's information, it's revelation, it's exhorting, and on a weekly basis, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner supporter of our ministry, and you can do that two different ways. If you have the app already, It's all you got to do is go down to the bottom of the app where the heart is right there, where it says donate. Click on that, and it's going to take you to the page where you can give electronically, and you can set that up however you want. Or you can go straight to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can give electronically there. Or if you wish to give by check or money order, you can make that out to End Time Headlines right there on your screen, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, thank you so much for coming on today, being a part of the broadcast here on this Monday on March 21st of 2022. Don't forget to, if you're watching by Rumble or YouTube, be sure to subscribe, hit the bell for push notifications so you can be notified of when we come on live. Don't forget to share this to your friends, your family, your coworkers, and those who would be interested in end times or eschatology, and show them the signs of the times and seasons in which we're in. So we're going to sign off for today. We will likely be back on tomorrow. But until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.